Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Hey, everybody, in this episode of the GH Report, we've got stink bombs, we've got pregnancies, we got naval court-martials. A lot of hijinks happening on this episode of Port Charles, or this episode of the GH Report, or a lot of other stuff. I bet you the first take was better, but we'll do this one. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. That music sounds so nice, even when you hear it twice.
That
welcome
is my song.
To the GH Report, right here on AfterBuzz TV. Of course, we're going to be breaking down the latest happenings in Port Charles with you, our lovely and devoted audience. We couldn't do it without you. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
And I am Carla Renata. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic.
And of course, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and feel free to hop in the chat. We're going to have the chat up here on the screen, so we'd love to hear your thoughts about anything that happened this week in Port Charles, or just any general GH thoughts that you may have that may be crossing your mind and you feel like now is the time that you need to share it. So a lot of wacky things.
Yes.
All right. I feel like we just got to jump in.
Just go for it.
It was just driving me bonkers. Let's just talk about Nell and Michael.
Okay. I'm so glad you started with that because I am so done with her. I'm like, how many lies can that doll tell before he's like, you know what? I'm done. And each time she lies, he's like, okay, I'm done. And then she comes back. Oh, Michael, with them little puppy dog eyes, and then he falls for it. I'm like, why did it take Maxie and Lulu to call her out yet again for him to go, okay, you know what, I am officially done. And then what does she do?
What about our baby?
And I have to say, I thought she was lying until they went to the hospital and got the test, and then they confirmed that she really was pregnant with Dr. Kim. And when she saw Carly and said, congratulations, Grandma, I thought I was going to... I laughed out loud at the TV set. Because I know Carly wanted to slap the taste out of her mouth. I know she did. Because I sure did.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think we mentioned this last week, too. There was the scene where Nell has the present for Michael. Or for Jocelyn.
Jocelyn.
And it said she fakes the signature of that musician to give to Jocelyn. I'm like... We needed to see the sign, like her pulling out the marker by the elevator. Like, way to go, Nell. You're a classy lady.
I saw her putting the cap back on it. I was like, wow, that's low. Can we get somebody say, oh my God, can we kill? Child, I am right there with you on that one. She needs to go. And I agree with the chat room. Why can't Michael have a nice girl? Why he got to have Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs crazy Nell?
Well, he's had a nice girl, and we found it boring. Like, when he had Sabrina, that was Snooze City.
I liked him and Sabrina, though.
Oh, man.
I did. I liked him and Sabrina.
I never bought that relationship.
I liked it because he was kind of saving her, and it was like that Prince Charming kind of thing. I like that. I like that pairing. But Sabrina was all hung up on Patrick, and that, you know, and there was, and then that other guy came in who was all bad, who she grew up with. It was just way too many things going on.
So, all right, Nell's pregnant. Many things to think about. For one, is it a legit pregnancy, or did Nell like go to a fertility clinic or do something like that? Did she get a sample or somehow from Michael and do it that way?
She might have got something from Valentine, because, you know, she tried to trick Valentine at some point too.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
So I'm like, I don't, you, knowing that child, no, who knows where she got it from? She could have got it from a homeless person for all we know. But what we do know is that she is yet again stooping to yet another low to keep Michael in her life. I don't know what her Jones is about Michael. I don't know why she's so obsessed with him.
Do you think it's just Michael by himself, or it's Michael and the money that he brings with him?
I think it's the whole Corinthos thing going on. Because remember, when she first came on the scene, she was all obsessed with Carly and bringing Carly down. And then she couldn't bring Carly down, so now she set her eyes on another Corinthos. Now she's going after Carly's son, Michael. And I'm just like, you know what? Enough already. I need for them to, like, just kill her off. I need for a good old-fashioned mob hit to happen with her, baby or no baby. I just need for her to be gone.
There you go. Armella fan. OMG, Frank, your theories have me even more mad. I'm sorry, Armella. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to make you angry with my theories. That's what I do. That's what I do. I like to bring a little anger to your Sunday evenings. Because do you feel like she's doing it because she wants she's vindictive towards Michael? Or she's just so infatuated with Michael and so fatal attraction with Michael that she will do anything to make sure that he is with her?
I just think she's twisted. Something happened to her. I don't know if it was that whole situation which brought her to Port Charles in the first place that twisted and warped her sense of morality, but she's twisted. Like, she needs to be up in the Looney Farm with Heather.
She can't stop lying.
And Olivia, she needs to be where they are. And they all need to have, like, a nice little poker game together. Because, seriously, I can't. They need to just get rid of her. Just get rid of her. She drives me crazy. And this is the thing. She looks like one of those, if you've ever seen, like, one of those really big budget Hollywood thrillers, the crazy Cuckoo for Cocoa Puff murderer always looks very well put together, face beat, hair done. She reminds me a lot of Rebecca De Mornay.
Yeah, I can understand
like
that.
Like from The Hand That Rocked the Cradle, yeah. Right? She's giving me that. And I'm like, I need for you to be gone.
Man, all right. Matt McCoy had the worst throat beard in that movie. Like, that beard went so far down his neck. It was always, that always disturbed me in that movie.
I can't with you. But, oh, somebody's talking about, we'll get to Brit in a minute.
But I feel like, even like Ava, somebody who, if you put her up back against the wall, she will lie to get out of anything.
Yeah.
But she does it better than Nell.
Yeah. But Ava, there's actually something about the way the actress that plays Ava makes you feel empathy for her. The actress that's playing Nell is doing a really good job, because I feel nothing for her. I'm like dead inside. I'm like Morales in A Chorus Line. I felt nothing. Like, I need for her to go away. I'm not having it.
It's just like, as we talked about before, when it got revealed, like, she was after Carly for what was essentially a lie told to her. And ever since then, it was just like, I've never really, like, this character, like, you cut the legs out of this character.
So. I can't. So let's jump over to Britt real quick.
Yes.
Britt coming back. I kind of love Britt, and I love the fact that Britt, and she's another one, that when she lies, she's like, when they asked her, what do you know? And she was like, I know nothing. Right. You've been running around the world with your father. He just left 3 hours ago, and you don't know nothing? But then she did make a good point. When she asked Sonny, you know, would you tell your daughter everything that you're doing, especially when you know, planning something unsavory? Would you tell your daughter? Well, no, my father wouldn't tell me either. But I think that was just her trying to throw the scent off a little bit, don't you think?
Well, I mean, because I think it's one thing, like, if you're staying in one place, like Sonny is with his family. I mean, there's, you know, they're going to school, they're having their life, you know, Sonny's doing his thing. But if you're traveling with somebody, that means you're constantly on the go with somebody. Man, I feel like it's harder to just not know exactly what that, even if you don't know specifics, you can kind of make some inferences.
And I think something's up because her and her mother came back. Like, I would think there was nothing up if it was just her. But her and her mother have popped back in town, and her mother's sitting down with her legs crossed, having a cocktail at the bar, like, you know, ain't no big thing, like nothing's happened. I don't understand.
Well, all right, so we have the bridge back because we're looking for Cesar Faison, and Spinelli, of course, leads them, Jason and Sonny, right to her, and he's fled. Mm. So, but Britt does at least tell him that Faison was as surprised to see Jason alive as everybody
that's
else was.
That's a lie. You and I both know that's a lie.
You think that's a lie?
Oh, yeah, that's a lie.
No, so you don't buy what she was saying about
no.
like the traitor?
Mm-mm.
The traitor did something else and kind of double-crossed?
Mm-mm. Because she is, if I have learned anything from watching that doll on GH, she is notorious. She's like her mother. They are so cunningly smart that they will throw you off the scent in a heartbeat, and then it kind of boomerangs back around.
I'm gonna disagree. Gonna feel like...
We can agree to disagree because I'm telling you.
I feel like
you.
The traitor's a real person. I feel like it could be Jerry Jacks, somebody mm-mm. else. I feel like that could be that person. Because I also feel like, are we going to get Faison back on the show?
The traitor might be her mother. She might be talking about herself.
I don't know.
I mean, if she was talking about herself, that'd be a really cool twist. If she was talking about the traitor, but she's really talking about herself. I'm like, I need for that to happen.
Well, I'm going to throw out that it's got to be Jerry Jacks. I don't know anybody else on the canvas that you could pull back, unless you're going to create a new character, but then that would kind of not be as fun to bring up some character you've never heard of before. Like, I had this vendetta against Jason Morgan.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got to be somebody.
It's got to be somebody that has something invested in wanting to destroy Jason or Drew or
but,
whatever.
Yeah, so, all right, we'll tie into the Jason and Drew thing with this as well, because one of the points of it is like... Drew finds himself possibly being court-martialed, so he gets detained in a police cell. It just happens to be across right from Andre Maddox. And the question that they ask, and I guess feel like everybody is asking, is why replace me with Jason's memories but put me right back in Port Charles? What was to be gained by that?
Yeah.
If you want to eliminate Jason, which I think is a valid point, if you want to get rid of him, then you give Jason Drew's memories, and then he's just... He's never going to bother anybody again in Port Charles.
I think if this was something that was masterminded by Faison in conjunction with Helena Cassadine before she met her untimely death, it would be to have, because neither one of them liked Jason. So it would be, in my opinion, it would be to institute Jason living hell on earth. To have somebody else take his life, because his life, this would be the second time in his life, during his character's life, that his life has been taken away from him. First, the car accident took him away as Jason Quartermain, and then he created this whole persona of Jason Morgan, and then he had yet another accident where he gets shot. He's gone for however many years, and then he comes back only to find out that there's another Jason Morgan. Like, I think they're trying to do that to give him hell on earth. And can I just say that first of all, let's talk about how shady it was that Sam called Jason and was like, I need you, can you come? And he dropped whatever he was doing to help her. He still loves her. So I'm just like, oh, that just breaks my heart. And then the way they look at each other, like, I'm like, are y'all going to get together already or what? I can't.
Please don't. Please don't.
Okay, so I was online with James Lott Jr. You saw this thread, yeah. Didn't you? We were online and we were talking about the different pairings that could possibly happen, right? And so I said that Sam and Jason kind of give me life because I love that little theme music that plays whenever they get together.
I hate that song.
I love that song
so much.
It kind of gives me life, but I love that. But then there's the possibility of Liz and Drew. There's the possibility of Liz and Jason. And somebody said, Liz almost married Drew, and then that didn't happen. Then Liz was getting close to getting to that place with Jason, and then something happened with that, and that didn't happen. So people want to see Liz hook back up with Jason, which, you know, I'm like, I'm all for going backwards, you know, for the good of the storyline. But let's have her hook up with somebody else. And I really am not having the fact that she wants to marry Franco. Like, that's doing nothing for me. And I love the guy that plays Franco. What's his name? He played Ty Manning on One Life to Live.
Yes.
Y'all help me out. I can't remember his name. It's right on the tip of my tongue. I love him. I love him as an actor. I will watch him do anything. But he...
Roger Howarth.
Roger Howarth. I was like, oh, I know his name. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kelly. I love Roger Howarth. I love everything he does. I've seen him do stuff outside of the soap world, and I think he's brilliant. But him, and I've said this before, the only person that I really liked playing Franco was James Franco. I'm just saying. Because he was just demented enough for you to believe anything demented that he did. When Roger Howarth is doing it, it's kind of like I never really believed it. And I love him. It's not a front to him as an actor. It's just like characterization and fleshing out story-wise. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it. Who would you rather see Drew or Liz end up with?
I don't, you know, it's, I feel like the toughest thing with anybody with Jason, and it's to a lesser extent than Sonny and Carly, but it's just like that Jason's in the mob, and that always becomes a sticking point in any relationship that he's in.
Right.
At some point, the mob kind of infiltrates that relationship and puts that person in harm's way. And then it's a question of, can I stay with you even though our life could be at risk? And then if you start adding children into the equation,
right,
I feel like it's really irresponsible for anybody to want it, like either... Well, like Sam now, especially because she wants to be with Drew, who's left the mob for her. But then Liz, is she going to want to be put back with in a life with Jason, with three boys, one of them Jason's, but where the mob is going to be a very real and present element in their life?
And I would say that's a real concern for her. But then also another pairing that because I wrote all the different pairings down. So I talked about Jason. Da, 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 da. Okay, so the other pairing is Kim, Dr. Kim.
Yeah,
Dr. Kim, when she's looking at Drew, she's looking at Drew some kind of way, and she revealed that that Drew is Oscar's dad. So there's that, and I'm just like, is Dr. Kim going to come around? Because I get the feeling she's not telling everything she knows either. She's Trey Shady.
I don't know if she's Trey Shady, but she started at the end of this episode where she does tell him that Drew's her son, or that Oscar's her son.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she does have more information, but... I mean, understandably, you meet somebody that all of a sudden you find out, you think like, oh my gosh, this is the person that is the father of my child. Oh wait, he has a different face. Oh wait, he doesn't have any memory of any of that time with me.
Yeah, Frank, but I think her showing, because remember they said she was at another hospital, so at Mercy Hospital. So first she comes to town and she's working at Mercy Hospital. Now she's working at General Hospital. Why couldn't she stay at Mercy Hospital? Why she got to come over to General Hospital?
Because the name of the hospital, the show is General
Hospital.
I know,
but I'm just saying. I think that there is more to her presence on that show than they are letting on, and I think it's shady, and I think it's going to affect a whole bunch of people.
I know that there's probably more, but I also feel like she's at Mercy when you don't have Tamara Brown cast it yet. And so she can be at Mercy, and then you can keep her just off camera and not have to worry about her. But then all of a sudden, you lock in Tamara, you know she's going to be on. Hey, we're going to move her from Mercy to General Hospital, so now she can be on camera, she can be in the midst of everything. But I'm certainly, you don't bring an actress like Tamara on and give her nothing other than like just like a child, you know, a child with a man that doesn't remember any of that with them.
Because she says more with one look than she ever says with any two or three lines of dialogue. She's fantabulous. She's really brilliant. But remember last week we were talking, and I think you were talking about how you liked Lulu and Max. Were you saying that you like Lulu and Maxie's friendship, how that's rekindled?
Yeah, it's good to have it.
I'm kind of loving the fact that they're playing with that a little bit more now.
I I like it, but then I also, man, I don't know, this whole, like, let's put on hazmat suits and break into the...
That was crazy. That was crazy, but that's so indicative of the type of friendship that Lulu and Maxie have. Like, they do crazy stuff. Stuff that when you're watching it, you're like, really? Did you really have to go through that extreme to, you know, put up a stink... And where did she get a stink bomb from? Like, you just happen to have a stink bomb laying around? What is that?
When your husband's a cop, man, you have access to that kind of stuff. To roll back for 1 second there, MGP right there mentioned just a few comments earlier that
okay.
Sam always accepted Jason's mob life. And I would say at the time, yes, but I think now you can't tell me that Sam still accepts that.
No, because she's a mother now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was different when they didn't have children. Now that she's got the two kids, it's different. You know, it's like anybody in real life. You do things as a single person that you would never, ever, ever do when you're married, because you're married and have children, rather. Your priorities shift and they change, and all of a sudden it's not about you and what you want and how you feel, but you've got three other people that you got to look after. You got to look after your husband and your kids, so, you know.
So it'd be interesting, because I think if you split up Sam and Drew, I don't think Jason and Sam are an end game either. At this point, where Sam's at right mm-hmm. now, she certainly has that love for Jason. Mm-hmm. But realistically, put them in a long-term relationship, and Sam's going to have all those feelings that she had about, like, I don't feel safe knowing that you're out there. I've already lost you once. That's going to really come into play.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree with you on that. And I also want to add that when you're in a relationship with someone that you really, really love, even though circumstances may happen throughout the relationship that may cause you not to be in love with each other, like, you can still love someone but not be in love with mm-hmm. them. If you still love them, then I think they're always going to have that bond, and they're always going to have that kinship and that connection. I'm not necessarily sure if that connection is going to continue in a romantic sense. You know, I mean, you can see on Steve Burton's face as Jason, and this is why I loved him as Jason. You can see on his face just the hurt and the angst and the torture it is for him to walk into any room where Sam is and not just want to swoop her up and go off somewhere. Like, you can see it on his face.
True.
So, you know, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how that whole thing plays out, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he understands, like, the Sam that he's looking at now is not... But it's also frustrating him, because for her, it should be the Sam of, you know, 3 weeks from the time that he went into the water. But it's really 5 years from the time
right.
he went into the water.
And she's different. I mean, she's changed. Like I said, her priorities shifted. She had this other baby with Drew, thinking it was Jason. So now she's got a little toddler running around, in addition to, like, a little bitty guy. And then she's, you know... He left the mob for her, which at the time she thought it was Jason leaving the mob for her. They started this publishing company with Jason's money, I might add, which isn't Drew's money. So there's all that going on. And then, you know, I don't know. I would love to see love prevail at the end of the day, because I'm a hopeless romantic. But, you know, it's a soap opera, so.
True.
There's that.
Well, we leave Drew and Andre's conversation where Drew is saying, is there a way for me to get back the original memories of Drew?
And he never answered him. So
which
I'm looking.
There is a way. There is a way.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what the answer to that. He's like, I can't talk about that right now. And he bounces. I'm like, y'all right? And I'm like, y'all just dumped out of the conversation like that. You just had to go, I got to go. Like
what? No, this is the most important answer you could give me right now. And you're going to go.
I was hollering at the TV screen. I was like, did you really just do that? Did you really just go, I got to go? And then the guard just miraculously shows up at that time. I'm like, GH, I'm going to need y'all to do better.
That's right. Yeah, I feel like, is the guard just, like, waiting down the hall and listening? Right. And it's like, I'm going to come in when it's the most inconvenient for everybody involved.
He's just lurking in the background. Now. He's just lurking. And let's talk about the fact that they have put Monica on the back burner for so long. With bringing Olivia and Ned back, is giving her, and bringing Drew and the whole Drew Jason thing, is giving her a little bit of a sense of purpose, and they're starting to use her more, which I really appreciate, because she's the OG GHer. Like, she's one of the last original people left on that show. So it's a shame that her talents and her energy as Monica has been wasted thus far. But I love the fact that they were creating this thing with her and Olivia, and they had a moment where they reconciled, but I don't think that's going to last long. But
I hope it does, did you see that tree? You don't like the all-white tree?
No.
Really?
No.
What about like an all-red tree?
I like a tree that looks like a tree that's green. I'm just saying. That tree was a hot mess. And those ornaments were as big as my head. I'm like, I'm going to need you to have a normal size ornament on the tree that's looking like an angel with like a porcupine angel. That's what it looked like. I'm like, I can't.
Carly, come on now.
I do
like what you're saying, though. Because I have to admit, the Monica-Olivia thing was getting a little grating, because I feel like every time you put them in a scene, it was always Olivia trying something and Monica going,
no.
No. And then the ultimate trump card for that is like, this is my house. And you can't.
There's only so many times you can say that. So I was like, I was glad when Olivia was like, okay, what is your problem? If you got something to say to me, say it to my face. I'm like, yeah, that's where the Olivia from Bensonhurst is. Where's she been? Like, really? Yeah. Olivia was very kind of like pushing it down. I'm like, it's only a matter of time before she pops off, because the way they introduced that character to us and the way she's been throughout her time on that show, she is not one to bite her tongue about anything. So why was she biting her tongue with Monica? I was like, y'all have got to let her pop off like one good time. And they did this week. I was so happy.
What I liked about that is that, and it really just was great to see the Ned-Olivia dynamic in the scenes where Ned is like, hey, we should just try to buy out both Drew and Jason, take away all the worries for this. But Olivia,
weighed in.
Yeah, weighed in, and not in a very angry, confrontational way, but just like, Ned, I got to disagree with you, and here's why. And I was like, man, I love that relationship.
Yeah, I love that she did that too. And I also love the fact that Monica stood up for Drew and was like, because Ned was like, no, grandfather would have wanted this. She's like, no, boo, let me roll the scenario back for you and break this down about how Edward really went down with Edward and what he wanted. And when everybody was like, no, Jason is the bastard child, he shouldn't have this, he shouldn't have that, Edward was like, no, he's a Quartermain, boom, end of subject. So if that's the case for Jason, then that's going to be the case for Drew. She said that, and then she just turned her back. I'm like, yes, Monica.
Yeah.
Monica said what she had to say and then just bounced.
I like that. And I also like that Alan got name checked in there, too. It's because, like, Alan, this is what Alan would want as well. So you can't tell me that he wouldn't want both his sons to be recognized.
Somebody said, could we see the return of Crazy Luke? Now, y'all know Anthony Geary.
Come on.
Anthony Geary is not coming back from Amsterdam. That is not going to happen.
He's worked hard with that hair. He's worked hard with that hair.
He is in Amsterdam living his life. He is not coming back here to brush fires and Trump. That's what's not going to happen. He's not coming back here.
What I thought was really interesting, though, was that Monica was so open to the idea of Drew and Jason, that they're both like, all right, I've got two sons instead of just one.
I love that, too.
I love that. And then also in the sense where she can still be intractable with Olivia. Like, no, I'm not going to give up these Quartermain traditions.
Yeah.
Like, it's so interesting that a person can be just so have two sides of them, where you can be open on one side and really closed off on the other.
And I think that's because in the Quartermain, Olivia did say something that was very important. She's like, there's very few Quartermains left. No, how about there's like two? There's Ned and there's Monica. That's it.
Yeah.
Tracy's gone. The Lila's gone. Edward's gone. Who else is there? It used to be a bunch. Alan's gone. Like all of the main ones. And when I say gone, most of them have passed on.
Yeah.
The people that played the characters have passed on. And good to General Hospital for not recasting those roles and keeping those people's legacy intact, because a lot of them are irreplaceable. Like the woman that played Lila Quartermain, she's irreplaceable.
Very true. But it also feels like they also just decimated a family in terms of AJ, bringing him back and then knocking him off again. You've had Emily that they took out the canvas. Like other characters, like Sky, they shipped away.
But Sky, it's like Sky was on her way to becoming a town hoe. So, she was. So it was just like she had decimated the Quartermain name anyway, and then they didn't give her any money. So what was the point of her staying around?
I was like, Sky.
It was like torturous. Like there was no reason for her to stay.
Yeah, we've got Dylan. Where
We do have Dylan went to California, though.
Well, wherever Dylan went, Dylan is on assignment until he's needed back in and for some appearance there.
I like when Dylan was on the show, I like when they paired him up with Lulu, when he was trying to hook up with Lulu, but now not so much. Let's talk about, okay, is it just me, or is there like some real chemistry happening between Amy and Nathan?
Oh, come on.
Come like on that, now.
That.
Like that whole, we're best friends. I'm like, I don't buy that. Nope. Something is going to pop off with them. It is. I can feel it.
You think? No.
Oh, yes. Something, only because, only, and this is why I say it, only because, you know, Nathan's like the normal soap hunk. Like, he's the soap hunk. And Amy is not the type of girl that they normally would pair the soap hunk with on a soap opera. I've only seen that happen once, and it was on Days of Our Lives. My friend Kevin.
Spiritus?
Yes, Kevin Spiritus. And what's her name? Gosh, I can't remember her name, but she was a heavyset woman mm-hmm. with red hair. They paired the two of them together, and that was the only time I'd ever seen someone that looked like Kevin paired with someone that looked like her. So you never, ever see that, and it's, I don't recall ever seeing a pairing like that on General Hospital, ever, ever, ever. So I want to see that happen just because it's you're not looking for it, you're not expecting it, and it would just give Maxie a reason to lose her mind, because we got to give Maxie a reason to lose her mind, because otherwise she becomes boring.
I feel like... If it's, look at that. Yeah, Patrika Darbo.
Patrika Darbo. Thank you, Melvin and Daisy.
But I feel like, man, for as much as they want to say like that, Amy and, like, when Nathan says, one of my best friends, like, I have not seen enough of that. All I've seen is Amy constantly needing Nathan to still maintain the Man Lander's identity.
But I've been looking at her face, and whenever she looks at him, she's not looking at him like, I need you for Man Lander. She's looking at him like her, the look on her face. When she walked in the door with the doctor, knowing that the doctor's an OBGYN doctor, and that door opens and Maxie's sitting in there, the look on Amy's face was like, what the hell are you doing here? And she looked heartbroken. And then she had to fix her face to run in the room and go, oh my God, are you pregnant? To make it look like she was excited. But you and I both know she was not excited about that news.
Would you consider somebody your best friend if they spent the majority of the time criticizing the person that you were with?
It depends, because sometimes when people are your best friend and they criticize the person that you're with, they do it because with their warped sensibility, they think that they're doing you a favor and trying to save you from heartbreak. But what they're really doing is throwing a wedge into the friendship and the relationship.
Because I don't think Nathan and Max are going anywhere anytime soon. And I just don't see Nathan.
I'm not trying to have them go nowhere. I'm just saying for the sake of drama and intrigue, it would be interesting to see that. I need for Amy to be a little crazy, and I need for there to be, you know, something happening between Amy and Maxie, and have Lulu get involved. Oh, child, I can just see it now. It would be fantabulous.
I just need Amy to go away for a while. We have to leave the show forever.
But no,
let's not be seen for a while.
Why? What is it about Amy that ruffles your feathers?
That Man Lander storyline killed me. It killed me on a deep personal level, emotional, spiritual, physical, mental level. I just can't anymore. There's always too much of her in the nurse's ball. There's too much of this Man Lander story.
Somebody said recast Carla. Why are you trying to recast me? What's up with that? What?
Ah, yes. Kevin Pham says, but Nathan needs to start defending his wife Maxie over Amy. If he can't do that, then he needs to step aside.
That's what I'm saying.
I do like that. It's like, Maxie, I can't defend you. I'm going to have to step aside.
I feel violated every day I hear the term Man
I agree with you, Kevin. That
oh, okay, oh. MGP. Because I was like, really? You just go throw me under the bus like that? Phone calls. You want to take? They want to take phone calls.
We have the Skype. We got 15 minutes. Sure.
Yeah, call in. We'll talk to y'all. What's the number? You know the number?
Steve's going to pull it up. He's going to pull it up on that screen.
They're going to pull it up, and then we'll tell y'all.
Dollars to donuts, though. Kelly,
Kevin,
from
PEI welcome,
is
Kevin.
Probably going to be the one that first gets through. So
she can go help Chet off screen. Oh, okay. So y'all, the number is 424-253-0749. That's 424-253-0749. Call in and let us know what's happening, and we'll chat. We got about 14 minutes, so you got to do it quick.
There you go. Your direct line to a good time right here on the GH Report. While we're waiting for a phone call to come, let's just touch briefly on Julian. Julian, man.
He's getting on my nerves.
Him just, like, lurking around. Ned and Olivia. I mean, I did like the scene where Olivia just tells Ned, like, you know, I'm a coward when it comes to my kids. Like, just that real honest moment. Like, she doesn't want her kids to ever hate her. I feel like that's a real moment. Oh, Steve, thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a caller. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. What's your name and where are you from?
You and a bunch of donuts.
Oh, my goodness. It's Kelly from PEI. Welcome, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Carla.
What's up, girl? What you got to say to us about this story this week?
Well, first off, I'm praying for everybody in California with all these fires.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I have a friend out in Santa Barbara that she's got evacuated yesterday.
Oh, wow. That's a
Not
drag.
Fun at all. Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, and I hear that Finola is still not in her home yet. Mm. I don't think Kimberly is either.
Mm.
Yeah, not the funnest time for some people out here.
No, it's pretty bad.
Southern California area. But
somebody's clowning you in the chat room. They say you must have us on speed dial.
That's right. There you go.
I have a fast thumb.
Miss Jackie, Kelly said she got a fast thumb, so there's that.
what do you got to say about this week's storylines, Kelly?
Good and bad.
Okay,
hit us with the good.
That little Jake. I bawled my eyes out the last day and a half.
That was terrible, wasn't it?
A good scene.
Oh, my word.
He's a good little actor, that little boy.
Oh, my God. He's a good actor. Hello.
All right. And what's the good?
Or the bad?
No, that is the good.
Oh, that was the good. I'm sorry. And what's the bad? My bad.
No.
Oh, we all agree on that. Yeah. Ooh, honey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She needs to take a one-way trip at Port Charles.
She's rough. But it's so interesting because they set her up with potential stuff and they just take it away from her constantly in the show.
I was done with her when they had her sleeping with Sonny.
Yeah, true.
After that, I'm like, yeah, I'm done with you. I'm done.
I knew that was fake from day one.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't. I was actually scared for her. Somebody said she's Carly 2.0. She is. She is Carly 2.0. Oh, she's the worst.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah, and that Dr. Kim is about as nosy as Carly.
That's because she used to be Carly.
Yeah. Go away.
So there's that.
I know, eh?
Yeah,
it's a hot mess. That whole storyline is a hot mess.
Well, we'll see how it plays out.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not good. How are you feeling about Julian on the show? Are you tired of Julian? Do you feel he has no purpose, or do you like having him back?
He's my hot Canadian butt. Hello.
All right. Enough said there, Kelly. All right, Kelly, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you
for the
Kelly.
Well wishes there. Much like with everybody, we wish everybody that is affected by these California fires, hopefully they are safe and sound.
Most definitely.
Yes. But thanks for calling in, Kelly.
Stay real, Carla.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Carly can talk her way out of any trouble. Carly can talk her way out of any trouble. She can't. Ooh, somebody said Amy and Michael. Ooh, that could be cute.
Oh, no, not for no Amy.
What? Okay, wait. Why are you not feeling Amy and Michael?
I'm just not feeling Amy for a while. Amy's just needs
got somebody else?
Moving on out.
Do we have somebody else?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Man, because she's like, Amy just needs to. Like, let's not see her again until the next nurse's ball. I'm fine with that. I am.
Why are you trying to banish her to the nurse's ball? Oh, that's terrible.
Which is a shame because, like, the actress is fine. It's just the storyline she's been given. Oh!
Melvin's laughing. He said, hashtag hot Canadian butt.
Oh, yes. So I know a lot of people in the chat there were saying, like, hey, at least Nell has some potential storylines, but Julian serves no purpose.
They've made Julian... Again, I've said it a zillion times, and I'll say it again. They have made Julian into a punk.
Yeah.
They have punked him all the way out. Like, he's just, he's like a bad habit. He's like, Pigpen in the Peanuts gang? He has that little blanket that has a little black cloud. That is Julian. Julian is Pigpen. He is the Pigpen of General Hospital. He is. He just got a little black cloud coming behind him.
And, he doesn't... Man, he does not help himself at all either.
Somebody calling us hashtag Shady Sunday.
by coming into the Quartermain Mansion and calling Ned Ted. You know, it's like, I know you guys don't really like each other, but if you really want to try to start this off on the best foot, at least...
call somebody by the right name. Yeah, like, what is that?
Yeah, why antagonize right off the bat?
Just shady boots. Why? Ugh. Why?
And then him just like following them right there to the photos of Santa.
I know. And what's even more annoying about him is not about him, but what's even more annoying is the fact that Alexis is like looking at him with puppy dog eyes from afar. I'm like, Alexis, I'm gonna need you to get your life and move on with that other doctor, the one that's actually showing some interest and actually cares about your well-being, the one who didn't let you go down that road because he knew it would be bad for you.
Yeah.
How about you put all your energy in that direction and leave Julian as bad news?
Well, and then also, I do like that Alexis, that anytime that Julian shows up, she immediately assumes that he's following her.
Right.
Always.
She's like, what are you doing here? Why are you following me? And he's like, I am not here to talk. I came to check on my kid. Like, get your life and get out of mine. What is happening? Yes, Clinton Jones, she is weak. And they have punked her out, too. Because Alexis used to be a badass. Alexis used to have no... Ooh, Alexis used to go in.
Yeah.
Her and Diane, they would go in together, and they didn't punk Alexis out. Now, the only lawyer that we have that has any balls is Diane.
Yeah, it's...
And she has her moments.
I don't know why they want to keep dragging this Alexis Julian storyline out. It's just, like, let her move on. Please let her move on.
I think they're trying to find something for they're trying to find something for Nancy Grahn to do, because the storyline on General Hospital oftentimes is so heavy toward the Corinthos family now that we have a lack of Quatermains. It's always going toward the Corinthos family, and it centers around Sonny and Carly all the time, that I think they're just trying to branch out and let the storyline go to somebody else. But, you know, sometimes it's hit and sometimes it's missed, and that's a big old miss with a big old M.
Well, what I'd love to do is just, like, let's really dive in, because I feel like they're just teasing us right now with the Nathan paternity storyline.
Yeah.
Who is his real father. So let's dive into that, get us more Valentine and Alexis scenes together. Maybe have that happen. I mean,
I like when Valentine is there.
Yeah.
Because he's just, like, true to the core evil.
But I feel like it's tough to have a Valentine and Alexis scene that is not antagonistic, because as of right now, everybody believes that he's killed Nicholas. Even though I think, and many people in the chat.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think everybody agrees. Nicholas, he's still alive somewhere.
I don't think Nicholas is still alive.
You think he's dead and dead?
Yeah, I think he's dead and done.
Only until somebody comes, and only until the writers decide to bring him back, or an actor that played Nicholas says, hey, you know what? I could use a gig.
I don't think Tyler Christopher is going to be coming back to play Nicholas no time soon. But I definitely think he's one that they've killed off for sure. Like, let me put it this way. I would hate to see them bring Nicholas back and have it not be Tyler Christopher, because I would be feeling some kind of way about that. And I also would be like, I'm going to need for y'all to, like, it just feels like it'd be beating a dead horse. I don't know. And then what about, what happened? They just Jeannie Francis this week all together. Did she go on a honeymoon or something? What's happening?
Hey, maybe her and Kevin are, you know, like, they're out doing something.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling them anyway, so I didn't miss them. So that's I'm like, whatever.
I mean, the only other bad thing about having Nicholas on, as much as he's a nice part of the canvas to have, they also did to him where they just gave him a constant stream of terrible girlfriends to be involved with. And they're always betraying him in some fashion. So whether...
Because he was with Britt for a minute, wasn't he?
Britt, and then she did that thing with Spencer, and then it was Hayden, and then that was all manipulation. So I feel like he's always had this bad luck of girls that he's been involved with. So
except for Emily.
Yeah, I mean, Emily was the one. I guess you're the love of your life. You're never able to find another one. But
I'm just saying.
It's also frustrating. Like, every relationship Jeannie is kind of has, just bust.
Jeannie never has interesting on the show. You know, I mean, it was interesting when they brought her back from, you know, the attic.
Anything's more interesting
when
than
they
that.
Brought her back from the attic, it was interesting because then, you know, Anthony Geary was still there, and that other girl that was playing Lulu was still there, and Lucky was still there, and Nicola, like, the whole gang was still there. Now all of those people are gone. I feel like, again, she's one of those characters that's kind of floundering, and they're trying to find something for her to do because she's an OGGHer.
Well, I mean, they seem to have something going on there for a while where it was a whole big custody hearing coming up again, but that has been kind of just like, kind of delayed. It's kind of faded off by this whole custody thing coming up again. So
I don't know. I cannot wait to see what they're going to come up with next week.
Oh, yeah.
Because this week was like, there's all these questions kind of lurking in the background, you know? So what's going to happen with Dr. Kim? What's going to happen with Drew? Is Drew going to find out if he can get his memory back? You know what I mean? Like, all of those things are kind of lurking in the background. And as we know on GH, they never tell you the next episode. You know, this is going to drag on until the new year or very longer.
Well, I feel like certainly with Jason coming back in, it's a nice big shot in the arm. It's always exciting when a beloved character comes back on canvas. It's like, man, great stories. Got to keep watching. Then I think the big test is like what happens after that big, huge initial storyline is over. And then you've moved on to like what's next for Jason after he's figured out who did this for him and they've stopped him. And then what's the next storyline?
I do have to say this. I was kind of annoyed that they had Jason jump back into being like mob boss enforcer way too fast. When him and Sonny went and kicked down Britt's door, I'm like, okay, right. So he found out 2 days ago that he's the real Jason Morgan, so he's just going to go back to business as usual? Really, y'all?
Well, I mean, he always thought he was a real Jason. And it's only been 3 weeks for him, theoretically. I'm just saying.
Do you think Lucky will come back? Yeah, Lucky coming back because Lucky don't have a job.
Well, yeah, I mean, Nashville's being canceled. It's coming to its end.
Lucky's coming back because they need some type of antagonistic twist for Liz's character.
I just hope that Jonathan Jackson has learned to grow a beard better in his time away.
I can't stand you right
that
now.
Beard never came in. It was just always so patchy. It was like, man.
Ugh. Well, not everybody can grow great facial hair like you, Frank. I'm just saying.
This is all fake, guys. You don't understand. I get up an hour early than I'm supposed to just to apply all this. I can't do this without lots of extensive application. My goodness, we're running out of time on the GH Report, Carla.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
Oh, my word. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this week's episode. But you know what? The fun doesn't stop here. You can like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Thanks for Kelly for being so speedy with the fingers and being
our Kelly.
First phone call for Carla here on the show.
I know, right?
Yes! But if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show is over, Carla, where can they find you?
You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. Holla at your girl.
That's right. And yes, R.L. Melvin fan, my YouTube videos for makeup, beard makeup tutorials are there. They'll be coming. I'll be releasing those shortly. So yes, get ready. Get ready.
You're welcome, Kelly. Thanks for the fun and calling in. We appreciate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. We'll be back one more time before the holiday break. That's right. Next Sunday, we are, I guess, our like end of year finale.
Yes, that'll be the last time you'll hear from us until 2018.
Oh, do we end it on a cliffhanger? Who knows?
I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, somebody's twins coming back. I can feel it already. Until next week, folks. Watch them GH. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.